Blog Talk Radio. What, I get
the music again? Oh, I got the music. Okay, about freaking time. Damn cheap ass Block Talk Radio. Go kiss my black. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Block Talk Radio right here. Music is still playing?
It sounds like that's the case.
Yeah, oh gosh. Okay. All right, you stop. Don't move. You won't get hurt. Okay. Like I was saying, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another crazy edition on a Tuesday night version of the very intense and racism and sexism and politics, The Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host with the most, the king of king himself. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone lines, I have the one, the only.
It is Sean Black in the building. It almost sounded like you forgot who you were. Because you paused for a quick second. It was like, I am the host with the most. Who am I again?
Well, you know, it's that old age again, you know. Amnesia, whatever. And plus, I'm sober right now, so.
That's the issue. You got to get back to that cranberry juice.
Oh, yes, indeed. And as always, Anisha B is too busy right now in the bathroom stall, so she will not be joining us tonight. Oh, well.
Oh, boy.
So, ladies and gentlemen, tonight is a night you need to call in and vent out. Tell us your thoughts or any questions that you may have. And the number for that is 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402. Sean Black, are you ready to tell the absolute truth and piss some people off?
Maybe. Let me think about it. Yeah, I am.
All right. Let's get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, depending on your definition of mass shooting, so far there have been 353 mass shootings in 2015 reported. The year is not over yet. Already we have 353 mass shootings. As you know, last week was the mass shooting in San Bernardino, California, that left 14 people killed and 21 wounded. But I want to change things up a little bit for tonight. Sean Black, I want to talk about Mr. President Obama and his speech Sunday night.
Oh, yeah.
Which was about the terrorist attacks overall. But before I tell my version of it, I'd like to, you know, ladies go first. So, Sean Black, what was your intake of the speech Sunday night?
Ladies first, right? Anyway.
I'm trying to get gentlemen.
Yes. Well, first, as you can hear, I'm already flabbergasted by what we've been going through the last few days. We don't even need to go back into what happened. We already know what happened. We all know who did what. We are now still getting more information, and the investigation is going on. Like you just started off the show with, based on your definition, we've had 353 shootings. I want you to think about that. Even if the number has been disputed and it's over 300, we've had almost as many shootings as we've had days in the week. Think about that. Let's just say days in the year. 353 shootings, 462 people killed, and 1,312 people injured. Think about that. In just this year alone. But yet the government's definition of a mass shooting is in a period of time where four people or more are shot and or killed in one particular time period. This is something that has become so epidemic, it's not funny. So we go back to what your initial point was, that President Obama finally, after all of the things happened earlier a couple days ago, I believe it was just yesterday as a matter of fact, had a press conference to address what's been going on and talk about his thought process into what has been a hotbed conversation that had to be talked about. And in that sense, he had to bring up what has happened and what the United States should be doing to try to appease the people. And in this press conference, he riled up a lot of people, especially those that are into trying to figure out what the United States should do going forward. President Obama addressing the American people, and one of the statements that he brought up in his speech on terrorism, which was actually Sunday, he says, quote, "As we become better at preventing complex, multifaceted attacks like 9/11, terrorists turn to less complicated acts of violence, like mass shootings, that are all too common in our society. In this type of attack that we saw in Fort Hood in 2009 and in Chattanooga earlier this year and now in San Bernardino, California." One of the quotes that he said. Here's the issue that a lot of people are having. It's painting in the conversation a wide brush to one particular section of the country, whereas we're talking about Muslims. This is going to be a very big hotbed topic for Lord knows how long. And you might agree with me on this. And you'll understand where I'm going with this next comment, is that Muslims in this country have become the new N-word in the minds of people. The same way that the N-word was flashed around towards African Americans in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s and the 60s is the way the media and a lot of politicians have been flashing the Muslim religion in their eyes, where it seems to be fashionable to just completely jump all over the Muslim religion. And using the speech that the president brought up, he said that in his mind, we have to try and stop with gun control. We have to add with gun control, help out with trying to get guns off the street and try to limit violence and these kinds of things, while yet we're going to be going to war with ISIS. But yet that explanation, at least part of that, makes it look like the only things that are happening and the only mass shootings that have happened with radicalized Muslims, and that is not the case. And this is where we're going to have an issue with a lot of people that are going forth listening to all of this information.
But and I'm saying the phrase that you mean by using the new N-word towards us, but using the N-word was towards black people was a race. We talk about religion. That's what people don't understand. We're talking about a religion, a freedom of expression. We're not talking about race. So when you say Muslims, they're thinking one particular group.
Exactly.
Muslims. It could be white, black, Asian, Hindu, Indian, Greek. Anybody could be a Muslim. But do you see a white Muslim overall? No. Do you see anything about it? Do you see any other type of race? You see one type of color. So when you see Indian or Egyptian or someone from Saudi Arabia or the Middle East country, you think of Muslim right away. So I understand what you mean by using the N-word, but the way the media is using Muslim towards us, trying to make them look like the enemy again, that part I understand. So basically back to 9/11 all over again.
Exactly. And as I stated before, we talked about this some time ago. And as I remember, when we talked about what happened around 9/11, it was fashionable for people to talk about Muslims and Arabs as if it was the N-word. And it was used under the cloak of being patriotic. I love my country, so anybody that is wearing a turban, you need to be dumped on. Get out of our country. You're the ones that started 9/11. You're the guys that did this. You're the guys that did that. And we know without a shadow of a doubt that is not the case. We know that a lot of people that went out there that had nothing to do with any of those attacks are getting the brunt of the vitriol and the evil tense words that were coming out of the mouths of just random people in America because it was under the guise of being patriotic. It's freedom. I love the United States of America. Get them out of our country. We're starting to revisit those same ideals today, and we're now almost 14 and a half years removed from 9/11, and we're starting to have a lot of those same kinds of arguments and those same kinds of ideals pop up again, and this is dangerous. Dangerous.
Understood by Sean Black. You didn't answer the original question. What do you think about his speech about the situation Sunday?
What I think is that Obama went on to try to quell the country and his best that he could, and trying to be, one, diplomatic, and also, two, trying to make sure that he carefully worded everything so that he did not offend anyone. But what I think ended up happening is that I just stated from that one particular part was that if he were to explain what he was explaining and brought up some of the other mass shootings that have happened, like what happened at the church in South Carolina, or some of the other things that have happened with police violence or some of those other things, if he'd have brought that into the conversation, then it would have been a little more of an equal mindset. I think he kind of went a little too easy, and yet he thinned out the explanation so that it made it look as if, in the eyes of a lot of Muslims, that they are the reason for all of these things that are happening. But I don't think that that was what he meant or the overall tone of his speech. And I think that politicians are now picking it apart, which we saw. Remember, we had this conversation right after the speech when we talked about this, and we said that they're going to the everybody, Republicans, Democrats, they were going to pick that speech apart. And not more than 5 minutes after the speech was over, Trump picked it apart. Lots of people, Ted Cruz and some of the other Republicans that were there, they took the speech and ripped it apart.
Okay, so with his speech, Teddy's speech was about securing the country, which, you know, we all know that's part of the politics BS job, to make sure everybody knows that we're safe and sound. But did the speech sound more about the Muslim, ISIS, or more about gun control at the same time, or all three together combined into an 18-minute speech?
I think what he tried to do is try to reiterate that we need to work on getting better gun control in the country, but he didn't lay it as thick as he's done before in the past. We're talking about a president who has, in his 7 years, in his two terms so far, has had 18 different mass shootings happen as far as having to speak and do press conferences and speeches about that. The problem is now we're in a world where terrorism has ballooned since 9/11 and now is closer than ever happening in the United States on some level. Now, we've had terrorism happen within the United States, homegrown terrorism, the Timothy McVeigh thing that happened back in the late 90s. We've had all of the church shootings and church bombings and KKK attacks and those kinds of things that have happened in the years in the history of our country. But that hasn't been talked about as much being called terrorism as much as it is called very big blights on society and instances that have happened that have taken place, when they're all terror, because the basis of any attack is to instill terror in one's a group, people, an entire society. And if you feel horrified, terrified, scared, you change your lifestyle, you change your thought process based on an action that has happened, the terrorist, whoever that is, has won. And that's the point of these attacks.
All right, talk about terrorist attacks. Last week when we heard about the shooting, what was the first question that I text you or called you about?
The first thing you had asked me about was, is this person a Muslim? Is this person black? Is this person white? Do we know if this was a religious thing? I wasn't thinking about that at all. But when you texted that to me and you said, you know what? Let's see what happens. But if this is your point being was, if this is a religious slant or if that is the case, oh, we're going to have a whole lot of problems. And lo and behold, I think it was like an hour or 2 hours later, they started to connect the dots. And that's what happened. So you were almost right on the money with that guess.
Yeah, because once again, ladies and gentlemen, I tell it like it is. When it comes down to these mass shootings, if it's one person alone, you're thinking Caucasian, male, single. That's the number one type of group that do mass shootings. You don't think black people, you don't think Asian people, you don't think Spanish people. even though there has been mass shooting with other races, the number one is white. Once you hurt two or three people, I'm sorry to say, that's an attack. That's a plan well planned out. So when I heard two people dressed up in all black, oh, that's assassination right there.
They initially stated when the news first broke that some people were claiming that they saw three people. Now, what we usually hear about when we hear about an attack of this nature, you usually hear multiple people say there's three people, there's four people, when there's usually only one. And that's mostly because of the perspective of where somebody may have been, or it looked like three people when it probably was just one person being seen in different areas. This was planned, coordinated, and there was something that was going to be done. I want you to think about this. Two 23 caliber semi-automatic rifles, two 9mm semi-automatic pistols, and an explosive device. And then there were rifles, an AR-15, a Panther Arms A-15, a Smith & Wesson. These people, which we found out were a married couple, who had just dropped off their child with the child's grandmother and said, we're going to be going out, then went off into this rampage, were ready for war. And I mean, these people decided to get in an SUV, bring a bunch of weapons, and prove some kind of point. And this is starting to become too much of a commentary on what is happening in the world. Forget about just the United States, the world itself. It's just now that this is starting to become a little more regular now.
Yes, but didn't on last week's program, most of us said there will be an attack on America's soil sooner
or
later?
And I said that if I said it was only a matter of time. And that's the thing. We in the United States always live by life, freedom, and the American way. We all like the milk and cookies, and then the country is going to make sure everything works. We have everything taken care of no matter what. Nobody would even think that today, tomorrow, next week, whenever, that something like 9/11 could not happen again. When 9/11 first happened, forget about 9/11. I'll go back even further. Back in 1993, when the first World Trade Center bombing happened in the parking lot of one of the Trade Center buildings, people thought, wow, this is extreme. Somebody tried to blow up the World Trade Center with bombs in a parking lot. Everybody thought they were safe afterwards because the United States would not let something like this happen to them on their own soil. Would never happen. 9/11 happened, and it's basically unimaginable death and suffering. After that, that was the first time that this country figured, you know what, this is something that's just happened on our soil. We cannot let this happen again. And the United States has done as good of a job as it has had that something like this has not happened on our soil. And then you have the San Bernardino shooting. Then you've had other instances that have happened that almost happened. We spoke of before. Remember, there was the person that tried to detonate a car bomb in Times Square. You had the person that tried to blow up the plane with the bomb in his underwear, or the one that had the bomb in his shoe that didn't go off. So we've had instances that have almost happened in the United States, but because of circumstance, happenstance, or just plain dumb luck, a lot of these things have not happened. Now we're starting to see things carried out, and it's now not just now becoming a realization in the United States and along people that are here that this is something that can happen. It's just a matter of time.
True, but people need to realize at the same time, yes, we have a lot of attacks that happen, but compared to other parts of the world, especially in the Middle East, especially in Israel, they go through these attacks almost every single day. They are building collapse and ruins right now. We are in better shape than a lot of most countries, but people don't see it that way because it's all about us. And now we're looking at the Muslims as the biggest threat in the world, not ourselves, which, once again, if you compare to the terrorist attacks to how many people have been killed by law enforcement in America, is comparing apples to oranges.
Yeah.
Go figure.
Yes,
we're
exactly.
Worrying about ISIS. We are worrying about ISIS nonstop. Worry about other countries trying to attack us. But once again, ladies and gentlemen, look within ourselves. We're killing each other first. We got,
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
We have over 1,000 shootings in this country alone compared to other countries in the world. Look at us. Look at the numbers. The numbers show. I'm not, besides the cop killing, I mean, we have, gun is a major problem in this country, period. But once again, it's not a problem that will go away. It's not a topic that we will never stop talking about. People love guns, and that's a problem. And that's why I think President Obama is trying to push that gun control in. But at the same time, you have people that were born in this country who went to another country to get his crazy wife to come here via, with a visa and bought guns here and made bombs. Like, it's a no-win situation at all. Go ahead.
And then
Sean Black, what was before the second question? The Republican reaction about Obama's speech.
Oh, they raked it through the coals. First and foremost, everybody knew the Republican Party's response would be of that same hive mind mentality of everything that the Republicans say is going to be opposite what any Democrat says, regardless of if it makes any sense or not. We know Donald Trump. We've heard what he has stated, and we know the danger that comes out of saying the things that have been said. Donald Trump basically said that we need to get a new president now. If we had a new president, we would be able to do this. We would be able to do that. Things would be different. And then just earlier today, we heard Donald Trump talk about, if I'm elected president, we should make sure that no Muslim is ever to be brought into the United States until we can figure out what to do with them or what to do, period. I have to tell you right now, if you saw on the cover, I believe, of the Philadelphia Daily News, I believe, there is a picture of Donald Trump on the cover that says the new Führer, and it has a picture of him with his hand raised, which kind of depicts him, even though it's kind of out of context, but it depicts Donald Trump as if he was Hitler. And the more rhetoric and more bloviating that I hear from Donald Trump, irregardless of what he may think of certain races or sexes of people, whatever is the case, his brand of rhetoric and rabble-rousing is so dangerous to the fact that it's going to make this situation worse. We had this conversation before off air about Donald Trump, and we know exactly what kind of person he is. Earlier today, Donald Trump was on all of the TV news channels, and he was talking about it, but he kept yammering on and talking about it and talking about it, and two of the news coverages cut him off because he wouldn't talk. He wouldn't allow the other people that are doing the interview with him to even speak their mind and ask him questions, because all Donald Trump is about is getting himself promoted. And you know what? The sad part about this, or even more so, the better term is, the scarier part about this is, no matter what he says, no matter how he believes, no matter how bigoted he is, and he bloviates on about that, his poll numbers continue to get bigger. And the reason why that is because the country has a lot of Republicans that feel the same way Donald Trump does. And they are now making it known. And the sad part about this is a lot of things will definitely change and be made worse if he is elected president, just based on the bigotry that he's brought out. And from both the Republican side and the Democratic side, and even some independents that are not even running for president, they believe that just him opening his mouth, whether this is the way people feel or not, is harmful to the situation, and it just shows you exactly what kind of person Donald Trump is. And it also shows you what kind of country we live in, that there is a huge section of people that actually believe in the filth that's coming out of this guy's mouth. That's not what this country was supposed to have been built on, and that's the problem.
Oh, are you done? Are you done?
Yes,
are you done?
Yes, I'm
done. Okay. Well, I'm going to go read some compare notes of Adolf Hitler to Donald Trump. Adolf Hitler uses use it racism to rise to power, as so as Donald Trump right now. Adolf Hitler proposed mass deportation, so as Donald Trump right now. Adolf Hitler promised to make Germany great again. Donald Trump promised to make America great again. Adolf Hitler is anti-Jew. As for now, Donald Trump is anti-Muslim. And I'm sure there's more to it.
I'm pretty sure about that, too.
Adolf Hitler blames Jews for Germany problems. Donald blames immigrants for American problems. Adolf Hitler thought Jews should wear special IDs. As for now, Donald Trump thinks Muslims should wear special IDs. So is that the comparison you're referring about?
Exactly. And see, the problem with this is that if you remember a long time ago, the former owner who passed away years ago, former owner of the Cincinnati Reds, Marge Schott, she actually stated that Hitler was a pretty good person until he lost his mind. He had great ideas until he lost his mind. And I'm of the mindset that there are people out there that think Donald Trump has great ideas, and he looks like he's suffering from some kind of mania where he's, like, just going out there. And I think it was Ted Cruz that went out and said that, I believe Donald Trump has become unhinged. He didn't become unhinged. This is Donald Trump. He's been this way all the time. And
no,
yes.
I think he has an ego. I just think the ego just grew more and more and more.
Yeah,
and
of course,
for the record,
because
Ted Cruz,
Donald Trump loves himself some
against.
Donald Trump.
Ted Cruz is against Donald Trump.
Yes.
He don't believe Donald Trump is right for the party, so not every Republican agree with Donald Trump, but Ted Cruz is definitely one of them who probably can't stand Donald Trump. And I think he's an embarrassment to the Republican Party right now. But as you stated earlier, think about the mindset, people. If Donald Trump is talking all this trash, the same way Adolf Hitler did it back then, and is buying into the American people. But once again, most American people are probably thinking this way. All Muslims are bad. All immigrants are taking our jobs away. If these polls are still rising, the scariest thought I think Sean Black is trying to make is, yes, I crack up jokes about Donald Trump before. Yes, Sean Black has bashed Donald Trump. The scary part is, if he's still preaching this hatred towards people in general, towards race, towards religion, you are looking at your next president of the United States of America. And I think that is the scariest part of them all. Well, they will use this terrorism as a, how can I say this, as a field goal to win the next election. Like, hey, George Bush did it. He was 9/11. That's how he got reelected. And at the same time, we all criticized George Bush back then. How he's a dumb president. But he got reelected. How did that happen?
Exactly.
I'm criticizing Sean Black, but I let him as my partner for a radio show. Explain that to me.
Maybe it has something to do with that whole 20 years I've known you type stuff. Maybe that has something to do with it, just a little bit.
I need new friends. That's the bottom line. But, okay, going back to what is the difference between ISIS, as President Obama said on TV Sunday night, ISIL? Is there a difference?
Well, ISIL is actually, the official name of it is the Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. That's what ISIL means. ISIS is, I believe, I forgot what the actual the meaning of each one of those letters were. But for those that have been wondering why he keeps calling them ISIL, and you hear some people in his cabinet keep calling them ISIL, when the majority of people and other news companies and news sources continue to call it ISIS, I think that they are called ISIS for media purposes, perhaps. I'm not sure. But for those that want to know what ISIL means, ISIL, that's what it means, Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. Basically, right now, we know that I'll go back to 9/11. When shortly after 9/11 happened, we as a nation were introduced to the first real group of terrorists as far as giving a name, a face, or a mindset, and that was the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. ISIS was born from Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. I believe the Taliban broke from al-Qaeda, and ISIS came from the Taliban being basically ripped apart shortly after 9/11, and they started to root themselves in certain areas and try to grow little cells that would do much more damage in smaller areas. So I think that's kind of what makes them that much more difficult to root out and to defeat, quote unquote, if you can really defeat them. And that's what, and I think that's what the whole issue is. Now, the United States, I think, is kind of tired of this whole we got to go to war, boots to the ground, we got to get people out there. I think a lot of people in this country are really tired of that. You remember President Obama in his second term, he said that what we're going to do is get everybody out of Iraq, we're going to cease this war, and we're going to get everybody back home so we can work on our own domestic issues. And as we're seeing now, we might start seeing troops sent back over to continue to fight this war. I don't know. Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead. Entertain me.
Do you believe that the United States should send more people into a war that we probably may not win? Or do you believe that based on everything that we've seen and things that we have heard, that the United States should actually allow the countries that are at war go ahead and fight this war on their own?
ISIS stands for Islamic State of Iraq and Syria?
The Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant. That's what it stands for.
Okay, no, we should not go to war. No. We should protect ourselves the best way we can because this is how we got in trouble in the first place. My airstrikes, yes. If you want to bomb people and destroy more families and more kids, why not? We've never done it before, right? But sending ground troops for what? Like you said, we're not gonna win this war. We've been fighting for like 15, 20 years now. Mm-hmm. Lost thousands of people. We should stay here and focus on us. That's always been my number one thing. Like I said before, we have our own terrorists to worry about. We have gun control to worry about. To go down there and fight, that's what they want us to do. To show who's a bad guy, who's a good guy. America, right? And okay. Here's my question. Do you think Obama is weak, as a lot of people have stated before?
Is he weak? I don't know if he's weak. I think that he portrays himself as a laid-back, thought-minded president that doesn't want to jump into a whole lot of things. We've seen in the past with the Bushes, and we've seen in the past with other presidents jumping into wars because it suits the United States to jump into a war or it works for them. As far as Obama, I don't believe our president is weak. But I also think he's thinking in the mindset of we're going to do what we can and try to minimize the amount of human lives that are wasted going overseas to fight another war. So I kind of believe that that's what he's trying to portray his presidency in doing. And his legacy has been, because let's really be honest, under his watch, Osama bin Laden was killed. And he was public enemy number one in the FBI the whole time since 9/11 until he was killed. So,
the only reason why they used that to get him reelected, please.
Well, hey, it happened. But you know what? It happened under his second term. So let's see what happens now.
It happened under his first term.
Toward the end of his first term, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And that hoping to get reelected for a second term.
Hmm.
Oh, so, I got Obama. Reelect me. I got your man. We'll fall for this. Now, we're going to ask that question because Ralph Peters of Fox News, he's an analyst, called President Obama a total pussy on live television regarding his speech Sunday night. And also,
yeah.
Stacey Nash said that Obama doesn't give a shit about terrorism. Both analysis have been suspended from Fox News.
Now, first and foremost, anybody that listens to Stacey Dash as the preeminent reason for political opinion has got their own issues to deal with. But I digress.
Okay. But they call, basically they call Obama a wimp. Like, you know what, you did not give a firm speech. You just told the American public everything will be okay. Which, of course, that's the right thing to do. That's normal. But
I equate it to the parent trying to tell
one more.
Yeah, I think that you equate it to the parent trying to tell their child, don't worry about it, everything is going to be fine. You're about to go to the hospital and get surgery on your knee. You're going to be fine. They're going to let you go to sleep, and then when you wake up, your boo-boo will be fine. I don't think that that's the same type of mentality that he went into with that speech. But I think a lot of people were expecting some kind of Theodore Roosevelt, rah, 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 let's get one for the Gipper type of, you know, football coach type speech that you usually hear about. That's not the case. What is the issue here is that the president has a responsibility as commander-in-chief to make sure that all interests of this country are taken care of. The people in the United States of America are actually safe, they feel safe, and that they are safe. And in the speech that he brought up, he said that that's what they're trying to make sure and do. Now, whether it happens is a different story, and how we get to that point is a different story. Will he be able to do it? Who knows? He's still got another, 13 months in office, 14 months in office or so?
Are you ready to hear some backlash? And from this caller, I've been not hearing no black or white situation. For once, we are not talking about race too much. You know who I'm talking about? Milton X? Take it away.
Hello. Good evening. Good evening, everyone.
Yes, good evening, okay. Milton X.
Yes, the infamous Milton X.
Yes.
I guess the most hated man on Facebook, I guess. Maybe, you know, maybe second to Rodney, but who knows. But, but anyway.
I love it.
As far as the whole Obama situation, listen, Obama's a measured, intelligent individual, so he's not going to say a whole bunch of crazy rhetoric about, we're going to go bomb him up on some pro wrestling crap. You know what I'm saying? He got to be calm. He got to be cool. You know, he's going to be measured and be intelligent with him. Now, in the era of Mr. Trump here, of course, you know, that's talking about the contrast in terms there. So that's why, the backlash against him, because like film media also would be more like Trump for entertainment and ratings and things of that nature.
Of course.
And also there's certain segments in the media that will criticize Obama for briefing. So, you know, i.e. Fox News and CNN, we know. That has nothing to do about race, obviously, but it is what it is.
Yeah. The audacity of Obama to actually be considerate of the country.
Right.
But he got criticized for his speech overall because he did his speech, seemed like he was in a rush, so he go attend the award ceremony, Kennedy's honor. So as, you know, the people that like to talk crap, Obama did it just for the hell of it, to make America feel okay, and on to celebrate his award ceremony.
What he tried to do was calm everybody down and be out. Because at the end of the day, ISIS or these type of people ain't going away because they have nothing to lose. See, the only way you're going to have to do something like that is to keep them down and to constantly bang on them and bash them and kill them. And the only way you can really do that is become a dictator, sort of like Hussein was and Gaddafi and people like that. That's why it was, you know, stupid in hindsight there to take them out of power, because they kept the Al-Qaeda's and the Bin Laden's and the ISIS in check.
Exactly.
Oh, my
and
God.
Now,
I think I agree with Milton X on something, ladies and gentlemen.
It's slightly a little bit more intelligent. I'm rubbing off on you. Don't worry about it.
Don't get too carried away, okay?
Yeah. As I said last week, that was the cork to keep the champagne inside the bottle.
Right.
And once you got rid of the cork,
they call them dictators and all that type of stuff, but they do what they do for a reason. You know what I'm saying? Because, listen, In those areas, you're dirt poor. You're like, you know, the ghetto is rich to them. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So when you look like that, when you, you know, running water is a luxury, you ain't got nothing else to lose. You go for anything. And, you know, with the religious fervor, Islam to a certain extent, or a bastardized version of it, to be correct, people take it and push them. I think people fool Christianity for the KKK, et cetera, et cetera. You hit them with that, they're poor as hell. They want to die because they feel, hey, in Allah's heaven or whatever, they get all these virgins and crap. Stuck a bomb in my back, shoot up everybody. Fuck it. So, you got that mentality. You ain't no American bombs gonna scare them. You know, it's no ground troops is gonna scare them. The thing is, for the American side, you don't want to lose that meat. Actually, America does have the weapons to do it, but they want to lose their lives like that. That's a bad image for America.
Yeah.
You know, okay. So they don't want to look bad doing
yeah.
that.
Okay, now it's time for K-Dog. K-Dog, take it away. What do you think what Milton X said?
Well, Milton, hey, what's going on, brother? How you doing, man?
What's going on, man?
Hey, man, listen, look, I was listening, and, you know, I agree with some with the things that you said. One thing I want to point out, though, when it comes to this whole thing about terrorism, we need to look at a big picture here, and I'm sure all you guys will agree with this, is that people are quick to point out what is or who the terrorists are and stuff like that. I mean, if you look at the number of mass shootings that have happened so far, 355 mass shootings. And on top of that, we're not looking at the big picture. There's a problem with domestic terrorism that's going on right here in the United States, and it's been going on for the longest. I mean, people are quick to point out, oh, the Muslims are the terrorists, all the Muslims. But yet, we fail to, you know, of course, with the media, people fail to realize there are also those who are not Muslim who are big-time terrorists. Like, take, for instance, was Timothy McVeigh a Muslim? No. Was Dylan Roof a Muslim? No. Was Adam Lanza Muslim? No. Was James Holmes a Muslim? No. This is the thing that's going on now with this whole thing with terrorism. And also, I'm glad that you guys pointed out the issue with ISIS. I'll get to that in a few. Now, with this shooting, with the latest shooting that happened in San Bernardino, see, I understood what President Obama was trying to do to calm a nation down. People think that it's smart. Oh, yeah, let's go ahead and go to war. Go to war, what you going to do with war? It's only going to cause more problems.
And that's what ISIS wants anyway.
Exactly. Right. You got to feed it.
And also, too, how are you going to get out the war?
Exactly.
You know, what's your exit strategy?
What is it? Yeah, what's your coming plan and what's your exit strategy? Correct.
They don't even have an entrance strategy.
You know,
that's the problem.
And plus, when you listen, to idiots like Donald Trump who stand there saying, oh, we need to get rid of the mother. What are you talking about, man? Are you out of your mind? And for those of you who sit there and listen to stupid idiots like Stacey Dash, I mean, you got to have your head examined. I mean, really.
Well.
That's a problem.
I got a question, right? I have a question. If Trump was for, you know, restricting the Muslims and getting rid of them and stuff like that for the terrorist things that they do, then that means we should get rid of all the white Christians out there
who
just do much terrorist stuff too?
Exactly, who do much terrorism. Because look at it.
You can't
know
white people in America either?
Like I stated before, people are quick to point out, oh, it's the Muslims that are the terrorists. Oh, how now, and of course, they even said, oh, the woman was the one who indoctrinated that man. Give me a break. Come on. You already have that indoctrinated in man already.
I understand what you're saying, but once again, these Stacey Dashes and Ralph Peters and everybody and Donald Trump, they're speaking what overall, to a certain degree, we all are thinking about. Once again, I asked Sean this question earlier. When you see a Muslim person or, you know, Egyptian or whatever, and you the first thing that comes to your mind, oh, crap, is this person going to bomb us up? Is this person going to carry a gun? Or whatever.
No,
we may not think like that.
I don't think like that at all, actually.
Allow me to say this.
A lot of people do.
This is the thing that's going on with the whole media situation, because everyone's out to paint the Muslims as a terrorist. But yet when you speak to a Muslim, the Muslim will tell you that the Quran speaks of peace.
Right.
They're not allowed to join any type of warfare.
Yeah, and also, too, most of the Muslims are over here are trying to get away from that ISIS.
Exactly.
From the Al-Qaeda stuff.
Because who
are
the ISIS
killing their own people even more?
Exactly. They're killing their own people. In Syria, they're killing Muslims. These are extremists that are killing Muslims. And this is the thing that I wanted to point out, too. Last week I said the same thing. The two biggest extremes in the world are politics and religion. And the fundamental ideas behind it.
Right. Because politics and religion both deal with power.
Exactly.
Okay.
You know what? This is the thing. And guys, we got to look at it like this. We don't know who our neighbors are. We could have a terrorist. We could have a terrorist living right next door to us, and we don't even know.
We could have a terrorist on the show right now talking to us. We have a terrorist on the show right now talking to us.
Yeah,
you
know. We know Rodney's a terrorist. We know that. So,
yeah.
Rodney.
He's drunk on the
one
who's still a terrorist.
Of course. All right, what about the NRA president, Wayne LaPierre? Is he a terrorist?
Well,
he's a terrorist enabler. He's supplying the terrorists.
He's a supplier.
He's supplying them.
Right.
He's a supplier because, you know, he's the head supplier.
He's a hooker. You know what I'm saying? He's a plug. That's what I'm up with.
Big time.
Okay.
You know what he does? You know what? Notice what he's doing. He's keeping silent. He's letting those idiots run their mouth. People like Ryan Paul and all of them run their mouth, because I've said it before on the show. The NRA has Washington, D.C. in their pockets, because you know what? Why do you think they're fighting so much not to pass a gun law?
Issue, because you got to remember, the NRA is playing both sides of the situation so that they can actually make money on either side. They don't care that there are people in the streets in general going out there. As we've heard over the incidents that happened in Paris, more and more people now are actually buying guns. As a matter of fact, they did something on Black Friday. They were talking about more people bought guns this Black Friday than any other day of the year.
As a matter of fact, that Black Friday, I had gone to Walmart while I was in the Poconos, and I noticed that people were purchasing guns. And I was like, wow, I can't believe it, man. This is crazy.
Think about that. We have the right to bear arms. Should we buy guns to protect our family in general from any type of terror attack?
Protect ourselves from the police and all these new other white supremacists out here.
Hot Rod.
I ain't worried about ISIS.
Brother Mill, listen here.
Yes, sir.
There was something that I read about, and I'm glad you mentioned that. There was something, guys, and I'm including everyone in this. I mean, okay, we're not going to dwell too much on the race, but I just wanted to point out something. Since 2008, after the election of President Barack Obama, there's been an increase, the number of membership in those hate groups increased by the millions, and the purchases of weapons also increased. This is what people don't realize what's going on. We all got to realize that there are these terrorist hate groups out there, and it's real. It's no fake. It's no fiction. It's nothing. It's real out there, and people really got to take notice of it. Like I said, and I say it before, pardon me for repeating, you don't know who your neighbors are. You don't know who lives right next door to you.
Exactly.
All right, so let's talk about the parents, the terrorist parents that drop off their kid, their six-month-old daughter. Imagine what the daughter will go like in the future, knowing that her parents were killed and also known as terrorists. Do you feel sorry for the child at all?
that child is going to be psychologically damaged, if anything, because everyone's going to point a finger and say, oh, your mother and father were a bunch of murderers. They were terrorists.
Yeah, but before what they're doing is building up bitterness and anger in that child.
Exactly.
That child may go turn up to one of the terrorist organizations or do something myself. Who knows?
And then the bigotry,
you know,
that child is going to be subjected to in general. Just to give you an idea, you remember a few weeks ago we talked about the kid that was arrested in his school for building a clock that the teacher thought was a bomb?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They went through something else again with him. I believe it was a few days ago. His name was brought back in the news. And the thought process was his family were going to leave the United States because they couldn't get over the racism and the bigotry that's been going on here. And it's another form of profiling.
Right,
where
right.
If you are a Muslim,
mm-hmm.
if you have a turban, or even if you don't wear a turban, if you look
you're
a particular way, if you sound a particular way, if you speak in some form of Arabic or any of that nature, the bigotry in this country is probably worse than any other place that we've heard of so far.
Yes,
and
mm-hmm.
it's out right there in your face, as I stated earlier.
Yeah.
Being a Muslim is almost now the new N-word. Because
you know, you're right,
under the guise... Under the guise of being patriotic, you're seeing a lot of these people that are being riled up, especially from the Old Boys Network, a lot of those Republicans that are going to rally against this.
Yes, they are. Yes,
they're
they
bringing
are.
It up as something
and
more permanent.
I want to bring something else up, too. Now, the media, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the so-called suspects that they say that did this type of thing, right?
Yeah.
They went all up in their house, getting all through their personal things, going through the attic, going through here, there, and everywhere, like scavengers, right? Now, they didn't do this with Dylan Roof. They didn't do this with the guys that shot the movie theaters, shot the Planned Parenthood.
As a matter of fact,
et cetera.
They said that James Holmes, he had his house booby-trapped. He had his house booby-trapped.
Right, so in that case, the media couldn't get up in there.
Yeah,
but you don't see the media go up in these white terrorist homes trying to figure out what their life is,
the landlord of the apartment building that they lived in said he didn't think it was a problem for the media to go into the place.
Right.
He said it himself on the news. He looked at the camera and said,
"Well,
there's no
issue."
And we know what that's about.
It's ridiculous.
Hold on. To Sean, in fact, that's what I'm about to say. It's a landlord that let the media in. Why? I'm sure someone gave him some money.
Of course. And people being Muslim didn't hurt either.
That's the real reason why the landlord did it.
I think
in his mind, he thinks that if he is helping the country, the police, the FBI, the media,
in trying
to point a finger at these two Muslim people that plan to blow up wherever, if
mm-hmm.
I can allow them to go into the building that I'm the landlord of and help root these people
I'm
out, find out
American
what they're thinking, I'll
think
be looked at as a hero to do
crap.
My part
right.
as a person that lives in the United
exactly.
States that's going to help somebody. When
right.
we all know this is all feeding into the same bigotry, racism, and all the other garbage that goes along.
This is what America was built on.
And that's the crazy part about it.
Genocide. It's the chicken coming home to roost.
Fellas, listen here. This was the same kind of bigotry that happened after 9/11. Do you remember what happened after 9/11? You know what they did? In many states, mosques were being shot at, Muslims were being harassed on the streets, and there was even a murder that happened in Arizona. The poor man was a sheikh. He was the owner of a gas station where he was shot to death by a fanatic, and they even the same suspect who shot the man in the who murdered the sheikh shot at a family that from Pakistan shot at a Palestinian family that lived in the house. He shot up the house, and you know, time and time again, the same thing happens. As soon as they see a Muslim, Muslims face so much backlash. As a matter of fact, I was watching Melissa Harris Perry's show on Saturday. And they had a Muslim lady on the panel, and she was stating the discrimination. discrimination and the bigotry that she continues to face about being a Muslim, because as soon as they see a Quran, everyone associates a Quran with a terrorist. And remember also, there were these quote-unquote Christian pastors who were setting Qurans on fire. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right about that. I remember that, too. Yeah, yeah.
There was a woman on the news that I just saw just yesterday that talked about how, I think this was in New Jersey, she said she was in her car driving with her kids, and somebody that was in another car directly adjacent to her rolled down the window and spit right at the car. The window was open, and spit on her, and her kids are in the back seat of the car because she was Muslim, and started yelling all kinds of racist crap.
These are the kinds of things that they're subjected to.
Hold on, guys. Yeah. I got a live tweet. Tweet is from my producer. Those shooters didn't have a political agenda. Islamic terrorists have a political agenda, and the agenda is to kill Americans.
The Planned Parenthood dude was trying to stop abortions and all that type of shit.
Exactly.
Take out Planned Parenthood. Dylan Roof was straight up racist, killing black folks. That's why I saw a race war and shit.
And let's cut that bullshit out. And what about when Adam Lanza walked into a school and murdered 20 children inside of a classroom and killed 6 educators? Come on, don't come with a political agenda.
They have agendas.
Those are just as bad as the so-called Muslim killers here.
Even though you look at
the San Bernardino case, there were witnesses that were saying that there were 3 white men in like military type garbs doing the shooting. So,
yeah.
At this point, I don't know who did the real killing anyway.
But I digress on that.
The media says the Muslims stole, and everyone's quick to point to that shit.
And this is where we're getting to the scary part of this whole conversation, because no one right now knows what that solution should be to make sure that, one, as the United States of America being the land of opportunity, which we have been founded on, where the majority of the people of the 350 million people that live here,
America wasn't founded on that shit.
Well, we know, like I said, what they would like you to believe as far as that goes. We know that the majority of this country have deep roots in places that are outside of this country, whether it's Paris or whether it's Africa or whether it's Haiti, wherever you've had family members from come to the United States and have had children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. That whole premise is the country was built on immigration.
Yeah.
That is what's helped get the workforce up. That is what has helped build a lot of businesses out there. When you start to cherry-pick what kind of religions and creeds can come into the United States based on the fear of something that may potentially happen or may not potentially happen, that's the scary part. And the problem with that is we have people like Donald Trump and some of the other people that are going out there and are rattling cages left and right.
Can I speak on something right quick about this whole Trump thing?
Go ahead.
You see these little coon bras out there shucking and jiving with him, too?
Of course, I posted on my Facebook, these
loud cheerleaders out there for Trump.
That disgusts the hell out of me.
Two things. So Milton asks, are you upset that the black preachers and the ladies that supported Donald Trump because they got paid either way? Are you upset about that?
I'm disgusted by that.
Why? You get paid by the white man, too, to do whatever your service is for, right?
I work. I don't fucking jive and coon and sell out like a bitch, like them people, like them pastors do, compromising their integrity for a so-called man, obvious bigot, obvious white supremacist in Donald Trump, who has nothing positive about blacks or Latinos, for that matter. Just basically a racist piece of shit, in my opinion. And you're going to shuck and jive and basically support him for money.
Man.
That's all that shit is. And they're a disgrace to pastors everywhere.
Man, they're a disgrace. Some pastors are sitting there shaking their heads because you know why? Listen, we all know this. Like, let's bring up something here, and I'm just gonna say it. We all know how it is with the House Negroes. The House Negroes is loyal
to
their master.
Yeah, the House Negroes, the coons, the buck dancers.
I'm gonna call them the House Negroes. You know, we love the master, and you know what's sad is this, is that as you know, pastors do get educated, but this was like an embarrassment and stupid for you to be supporting someone. To support this man who stands there and says such racist rhetoric, hateful rhetoric, and you're supporting someone like that, I have a big problem with you. You deserve the gas face for this.
They supporting the guy who basically made fun of a handicapped reporter because he disagreed with him.
And he also insults women. I mean, oh, wow.
Right.
Let's
be honest about this, too. I want to hear about one of these two guys from Black Lives Matter showed up and started protesting, right?
And they beat him up, and Trump loved it. You know,
what does that
this
say?
This is the thing. This is why I say this about what's going on in this country in wake of these shootings. Like, I could say this. True. The fact that those two let their kids shows how insane and radical they were. But at the same time, there were so many terrorist acts. Each of these shootings were acts of terrorism. Let's be real about this here. And, you know, the sad thing is like this, like I said before, politics and religion, but also you have these quote-unquote Christians who are demeaning Muslims. One evangelist actually said that Muslims are going straight to hell. You know, it's the crazy thing. Guys, could you believe this? Like you said, Sean, this is turning into, you know, the bigotry is coming out. And this is what this country is based on. And if you're going to discriminate against of entire religion, to, you know, like they say, one bad apple spoils a whole bunch. Well, what about the Christian terrorists? Does anybody say they deserve to go to hell? No. Nobody makes a big fuss. Instead, they say, oh, there was a mass shooting. The shooter.
He's a lone wolf, or he's mentally ill.
Or he's mentally ill. There's no mentally ill person that does that. I mean, mentally ill people, you know what they do? They throw things at people. They talk to themselves. They have a full conversation by themselves.
Let's be honest about it. There's a lot of mentally ill people out here in the country that don't do that shit. You know what I'm saying?
Now.
So how come they don't and these guys do?
But yet, you have these guys with guns. And I'm not talking about 9mm. I'm talking about Bushmaster AR-15. That
military
gun.
Military type gun.
Yeah. They walk in there with a high amount of ammunition and just lit up an entire room. I mean, let's look at it. Let's look at the scenario, what happened Friday in San Bernardino. And, you know, my heart goes out to the relatives of those who lost their lives. Let's talk about the victims. And that's the sad thing about it. We're giving these terrorists more importance than the victims themselves.
That is
dead
true.
People too.
Because you barely hear about the victims and their lives and the lives they live.
Exactly.
People are talking about people who people are killing, and they're dead too.
And that's the problem, because the victims, the entirety of this, we've been going about talking about religion. We've talked about the actual act. We haven't talked about the fact that these 14 people that were killed were innocent.
Exactly.
These were people that actually were coworkers of one of the killers that were at a holiday party, a Christmas party.
Yeah, they were on a walk to a coworker.
They were all, at some point, they might have all been friends, colleagues. They knew each other's families. Some of them had children. I mean, this is the sad part about everything. When you have 14 people killed, including the two that were there.
Exactly.
You got 21 injured, including two police officers. that goes to show you that the victims
don't
who
matter.
Usually get treated kind of like the afterthought should be brought up and thought about in the same aspect of the fact that to celebrate the lives that they had. Of those 14 victims, 7 of them had children.
Yeah.
One of them had three children. Two of the victims had 3 children. And it's sad because when you look at this, we're talking about one of them actually had 6 children and is married.
Hello? Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was disconnected for a while. That's why they hit my big mouth, guys. But I'm back.
It was ISIS. Right, ISIS trying to shut you down, right?
Oh, yeah, but... All right, Sean, make up your final point. Hurry up. I got 2 more questions to ask.
Okay. Basically, as I was saying before, we have to make sure that we do not lose sight of the victims in this entire deal. The victims, the ones that were killed, the ones that are traumatized, and the city and the world in general, the country involved in this entire situation, and look to see where we're going to move forward and what's going to happen as far as, you know, voting in the next few months. That's going to be where a lot of this gets taken care of.
You're right.
Okay, so my final 2 questions. What about the refugees? Should we still let them back into this country? Because apparently there was some background check, but it was not good enough. But this crazy woman, the wife, that Sari probably went to go get, basically she's a ringleader, and told this guy, her husband, yo, we're going to go out and kill your coworkers. The same coworkers that threw your baby shower for their daughter. So what about the refugees? Should we let them into this country still?
Why shouldn't we?
Here's the issue. What nobody's really thinking about, and it's not really talked about, is the fact that the reason why they're refugees is the fact that they're fleeing the same kind of rhetoric that the United States is supposedly trying to eradicate.
Exactly.
They are most of them are
from ISIS.
Because you know what? They're talking all this stuff about Muslims being killed, but yet the refugees who are fleeing their country, their homeland, they're Muslims.
They're trying to get away from the same atrocities that the United States has been telling everybody we're trying to get rid of. And if we continue to go on that whole route of they don't belong here, then that message will get backed on the world platform, and it will turn the United States of America into a country that people would not want to go back to.
Oh, yeah.
And
right.
That's the thing that the United States has always preached itself on. Bring all the people that are going to look for opportunity. Come from everywhere. Come to the United States, and you can be anybody, anything, anytime, anywhere.
Yep. Give me your five, give me your 4.
And also, too, if that's the case, we're not going to let any refugees in here. So I'm not going to let any Muslims come in here. For the so-called violence they did, then we shouldn't let any white people come in here either. Because they're more violent than the Muslims are. The statistics show you're more likely to be likely to be killed in a terrorist attack from a white person than a Muslim person is. It's like 2 or 3 to 1, actually.
Okay. Let's move on from the racism.
That's just the truth.
Okay, that's your truth. Last question.
Nah, that's what the numbers say.
Shut up.
Go on NBCNews.com. 5 months ago, they said the same thing.
Milton, shut up or I shut you up. Thank you so much.
Ooh.
Let me ask one last question.
Oh, I'm stirred.
Should we drop the bomb? Should we drop the bomb?
On what?
No. What bomb?
We don't need no bomb for nothing.
Please stop that foolishness.
Oh, my goodness. Man, listen, haven't we dropped enough with that one?
People have preached we should drop the bomb, will that stop
and
the
idiots.
The reason why that will never happen is because, unlike in Japan after World War II, after what happened in D-Day, which we just actually commemorated just yesterday.
Pearl Harbor Day.
Commemorating that. There was an actual enemy that you could see. The United States dropped 2 H-bombs in Japan, and they have not done another one of those bombs ever since. And there's a reason for that. You can't do that with an enemy like ISIS, because ISIS has no country to call their own. They have no face. They have no body to attack. They are little cells around the world. And you can't bomb what you can't see. And bombing them is not going to do anything but eradicate innocence within the vicinity. So in dropping a bomb would make no sense at all. And I hope that that's not even an issue or even a concept that is even brought up when politicians and the president starts talking about trying to get something done, because that'll be the worst thing that that could happen.
Oh, big mistake.
Exactly. And also, too.
Go ahead.
And if America drop a bomb, if these little terrorist groups could get a bomb together, too, then what? They drop a bomb
exactly.
here in America.
You're going to have World War III breakout.
Forget about World War III. You're going to have nuclear winter around the world. That's the problem that you don't want to have.
It's going to go global, and that's going to cause more death and destruction than anything else.
All right. And, of course, Donald Trump said about the shooting, of course it's terrorism. Just look at the names. Was he right?
No.
He was wrong.
Of course
wrong,
he's wrong.
Wrong. 100% wrong.
He's going on a stereotype. It's the same thing as saying, well, remember back in the days when the Black Panther movement was going on and the government was actually looking at the Black Panthers as some sort of a terrorist group?
Yeah.
Anybody that had a name that looks anywhere near an Africanized name, they were on the FBI list.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And
like,
that's
like,
the same kind
and,
of thing that happens.
That's stuff that happens, stuff still goes on today, to be honest about it.
Yeah, because you know what? Many of these groups are being watched by the FBI. And you know what? Nobody says anything about the Klan. Nobody says anything about the Aryan Nation.
Of course not, because they're in government. That's why.
Yeah.
It's not that hard to figure out. Who controls
exactly.
the media? White people. Who controls the government? White people. So they're not going to shit on the Ku Klux Klan. They're
mm-hmm.
not.
Nope.
It's not in their interest to. We just got to
okay.
be realistic about that.
All right, brother.
Yeah, I know I'm scared of Rodney now, so you know.
No. You can't never scare me, Milton X, because Milton X, you do make some points sometimes, and I respect you for that. I respect
mm-hmm.
your opinion. But once again,
yes,
you
sir.
Hate white people so much, and you're so
I don't
blind
hate
by
white
it.
People.
One day.
I don't hate
one
white
day,
people. I just tell the truth what's going on.
No. Let me speak. Hold on, let me speak. I gave you a chance to speak
on
it, sir.
Speak on it. Speak on it.
This is my time. You hate white people so much.
Speak on it.
You'll marry a white woman one day. I guarantee it. When you come to the show every day, discuss about white people. Yes, some of you said it's fact. I believe it. Well, your anger towards white people is going to make you blind one day. And you're going to be going to live the rest of your life as a miserable old prick.
Listen, the only old prick around here is you, Hot Rod, not me.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy. The look of the
oh, my goodness.
I know you got to shut the door where people got the view. I understand, man. It's all good.
Keep in mind, not all white people are bad, and not all white people are
I never
KKK.
Said they were,
and
genius.
But it sounds like
they were.
So how about you come to the show one day and stop talking about racism? Stop talking about
listen,
that stuff. Stop talking about the white man.
So what should I talk about, Hot Rod?
Let's be positive for once. Let's be positive for once, my brother. Let's be positive for once.
And
think
you
about
notice
it.
The second he said positive, everything got real quiet. Positive isn't floating
that's
this country, apparently.
Oh, my goodness, man. Oh,
I just muted him so he could relax for a minute. Let's calm down, relax. Not everything's about the white and black thing. We here talk about Donald Trump. We here talk about Obama. And about terrorists. Not everything has to be related to black and white. I respect your opinion, but let's focus on the matter. Not everything has to be about your KKK brothers. And when you marry that white girl, I want to be your best man for that wedding. Okay, on that note, Milton X, what is your final thought, my African brother?
My final thought is this. The truth is unapologetic and uncompromising, and so am I. Black first. Ronnie just pissed on himself.
K-Dog, what's your final thought?
Well, my final thought is this, like, when it comes to idiots like Donald Trump, they just speak to have themselves heard, and to those idiots at Fox, like that stupid idiot who called President Obama what he called it, like in the famous words of Pee Wee Herman, I know you are, but what am I? And also to Stacey Dash, I could see why you're ugly. You're stupid and you're ugly. You should keep your mouth shut. And to the whole country, let us remember the victims and their lives. Let us focus on them. Let's focus on their families who are in deep mourning now. And let us not focus on these terrorists. I mean, we got to do something about the gun situation in this country. And, you know, peace, love, and happiness. That's all I got to say.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Can't wait to do this again next week. Take
yes,
care.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you.
Of course.
All right, guys. Later.
All right.
Peace.
Okay, we got a few minutes left. Sean Black, I'll give you a quick 3 minutes to talk about Planned Parenthood and what happened with them.
Well, as we were going to allude to, but that conversation went way too long. But, yes, basically what people do not realize is that the Senate were trying to pass through a bill, and that was supposed to actually consolidate a couple of things. One, it was supposed to be repealing parts of Obamacare. But within that same bill, they also decided that they were going to defund Planned Parenthood. And this bill is called Budget Reconciliation, which is the first time that they are using this tool, so to speak, to get that taken care of. And it usually needs 60 votes that are typically required for legislation to pass in that nature. This one only got 51 votes because of that whole changing of it. So Republican leaders actually were able to steer away those two separate deals and put them in one bill and try to defund everything. The reason why that was being done is because December 11th is the deadline when the government could potentially shut down if they don't get themselves a budget in place to help pay their bills. This is one of those things that is thrown in there that they don't really talk about. And I tell you right now, this is the scary part about it, because it was done in such a slick way that we know that it's going to be put on President Obama's desk, and chances are he's going to veto this bill. But the Republicans have been trying to defund Planned Parenthood for so long, and they've been trying to get rid of Obamacare as many times as possible. They threw both of them in one big boiling pot, and they're trying to make sure that they get rid of both. So we'll find out in the next couple of days, weeks, or whatever. Hopefully this news doesn't get lost in all of the craziness that's going on in San Bernardino. But this is something that has to be addressed that we probably don't have enough time to talk about as much as we would like to. Maybe next week. But this is something to put on the cusp.
Next week we'll be talking about God knows what.
But
do you think, because remember, there was a scandal going on about body parts being sold, and now you have a shooting at Planned Parenthood. Should be some type of control going on? Is there a huge scandal going on with Planned Parenthood?
There is a good possibility that the video that floated around was doctored to make Planned Parenthood look bad. But Planned Parenthood, over all the years that it's been around, has been out there for services for females that need it, that are looking for a safe place to have an abortion or safe places to have postnatal care, prenatal care, information involved in those kinds of things. The problem is that that's there for them, and a lot of politicians that, because of their religious beliefs, think that Planned Parenthood shouldn't exist. And for those that are out there that are championing the rights of women and their reproductive rights, Planned Parenthood just got dealt a mighty blow. The issue is, though, although I don't think that that's going to pass, because as I just said before, it's going to get to the president's desk and he will probably veto it, the fact remains, and this is something to think about, if there is a Republican president voted in, this is going to be the norm, because anything that President Obama has tried to strengthen, whether it's been legalizing gay marriage throughout the entire United States, making sure Planned Parenthood continues to do what it's doing, or making sure that Obamacare is there for people that don't have health insurance, if a Republican gets an office that is for this kind of thinking, those things are going to be thrown right out the window, and we're going to see something really, really bad happen in the eyes of this country. And that's something that just cannot be disputed, period.
Okay, so in other words, you're voting for Donald Trump next year. That's what you're saying right now.
I'm going to vote for Charlie Brown because all he says is good grief, and he's the most depressed little seventh grader I've ever seen.
All right. Okay, we got last few minutes. Let's go to the Twitter questions.
Yes.
Do you celebrate the holidays? Yes or no? And do you say Merry Christmas or season greetings?
I celebrate Christmas. That's what I do. I am not an overly religious person, but I do celebrate Christmas because I love the actual thought process that goes behind it, the giving of gifts, the being around family members, the sharing of memories. That part I love about the holidays. I'm not that PC person that goes out there and as everybody is saying, happy holidays. Now, true, there are people that don't celebrate Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or Christmas. For those, I'll say happy holidays. But if it's Christmas Day and I'm saying Merry Christmas to somebody, I'm not going to just say happy holidays on Christmas Day. I'll say Merry Christmas. And there's this war on Christmas is craziness.
I hate
Christmas. Do you celebrate the holidays or Christmas?
No, I don't celebrate none of that nonsense. I don't celebrate Valentine's Day. I don't celebrate St. Patrick's Day. I don't celebrate any of that stuff. I like to go out, get drunk, and party. That's it.
Of course.
The reason I don't believe in holidays is it's all marketing BS of us spending money on garbage that we don't need. And yes, even though I have to celebrate Christmas for my children, I hate myself for it. And when they grow older, I will tell them the truth about the holiday season. And that's the bottom line because I say so. Ooh.
Well, it looks like your kids are going to have a real fun adulthood by the time they grow up.
Oh, please. Me and baby mama drama bought a Christmas tree at a location. I was cursing everybody out. They all look at me like, you really hate Christmas. Yes, I do. I hate Christmas. We spent $40 on a damn tree that we're going to throw away in 2 weeks? Give me a break.
The funny thing about that is usually we'll get a tree, and that tree will last longer than the holidays. So.
Oh, no. Once Christmas is over, so you know me, I'm throwing that tree out the window. I don't care. But Sean Black, what is your final thought?
My final thought is to make sure as a person in this country, you have to realize that times have changed, but you also have to be vigilant, I should say, tolerant of your surroundings and the people around you, and also to make sure that your voice is heard through voting. And when I say that, I mean call your aldermen, your congressmen, your Senate, whoever you can in your district to make sure that your voice is heard. And the reason why I'm saying that is because if you get the wrong person in office, there are going to be a lot of changes that are going to affect you, your neighborhood, your city, your country, and more importantly, your own well-being. So make sure you take that into consideration when you do go to the polls and vote over the next year and as we go into next year, and keep that in mind because we're starting to consolidate these candidates of who's going to be running for president. These are the people that are going to be representing you. And if you vote the wrong person in, you got 4 years of hell to look forward to.
Okay, thank you. And Nietzsche B, what is your final thought? Oh, I forgot. She's not here today. Oops. No wonder we had this show.
Oh,
Randy, I'm going to kill you one day, Randy. Randy, I'm going to kill you. Stop. Keep making jokes about me. I don't always go to the bathroom, you know. I just use my knee sometimes somewhere else.
Oh, sorry. But
you know she's going to kill you when she sees you.
I'm like, I give a damn.
Yeah. What's your final point?
Oh, for Christmas, I bought her knee pads already. So that's I'm okay. But I killed myself. My final thought is we live in a crazy world overall. Like you say, you know, vote for the person that you believe that will do the job. But I honestly believe, I'm sorry to say this, that I think Donald Trump have a very good chance of winning the ticket because this country overall is racial profiling, sexist, racist, or prejudiced. one-way type of form. And I believe everyone, I don't care what anyone says, we all feel that way to a certain degree. And that's why I told Milton that he doesn't like white people. But that'd be another argument between him and I next week. And like I said, I would be the best man at his wedding when he married a white woman.
Oh, Lord.
And if you saw him, I'd be the best man.
With a crown and gloves, too, right?
Of course. And when you marry your boyfriend, Sean Black, I'd be the best man for you, too. But,
Lord.
Other than that, ladies and gentlemen, the reason why we was on last night because we have a family situation. And I want to dedicate this show to him. I'm like, it may sound silly, but our family dog passed away yesterday. He was a good dog for the whole family, and we all saddened by this situation, especially my son that came downstairs this morning towards the kitchen looking for the dog, and we had to tell him there's no dog. He may not understand it, but just the expression on his look like, okay, like, where's the dog? And, you know, we won't be able to understand it for a few years from now. And this dog had brought, like, a lot of stories. He gave us a lot of headaches, especially to his grandfather. Like, he always bite on his shoes and rip them off.
But that's what dogs do.
Grandpa running after him. You know, it's like those type of stories we do miss. And overall, I want to dedicate the show for him. And that's it. We have two more weeks of the show. 21st will be our last show of the year. We will take a Christmas break between Sean Black, Alicia B, and I. We have some partying and drinking and God knows what else we will be doing during that time.
Oh.
So, other than that, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of The Absolute Truth right here on Blog Talk Radio as I play a special song for my friend Dog, Nappy. We miss you and we love you. And to Sean Black and the rest of the guys, I love you too, guys.
Aww.
So, Sean Black.
It's been a long day.
No, I'm not going to sing.
You,
thank you for tuning in. I'm the Hot Rod. And I have who on the line?
Yes, this is Sean Black. Oh, boy.
Very depressing, isn't it?
Yes,
well,
very.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. And as always, the pleasure was all yours.
Yes. See you next time.
Next time.
Damn. No, all the planes we flew, the things we've been through, then I'll be standing right here talking to you about another path. I know we love to hit the road and laugh, but something told me that it wouldn't last. Had to switch up, look at things differently, the bigger picture. Those were the days, hard work forever paid. Now I see you in a better place. See you in a better place. How can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I would do, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be with me for the last ride.
It's been a long day without you, my friend. And I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
You've
come a
long way
from where we began.
You know, we started.
So I'll tell you all about it. When I see you again,
first you both go watch your way, and the vibe is feeling stronger with smog. Turn to